The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lazaga on 94.5 ESPN.
WKTI and WKTI HD, Milwaukee.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is the extent of my money. I have a credit card.
Yep.
And I have one of those cards where you can get money out of the ATMs. Okay. That's it. I don't know how anything else works.
Card. It's a debit card.
Well, I'll tell you. A nice greeting card can really lift a person's spirits.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, check.
Yeah, she puts $10 in every card for my birthday. That's why I save them.
Now, it's not a debit card because can't you, like, use it at the grocery store and stuff like that?
Yeah, the debit card is
still a debit card.
Yeah. Debit card has...
No, I don't. I've never used it as that. No, I've never used it. The only thing I use that card for is to go to the ATM and carry cash.
There's a check in all these? Why don't you cash them?
I don't know. It's $10.
Yeah, but you got a whole pile here. Look at it. 1987?
Oh, so what?
Are you aware?
What do you use a debit card for? So you can go, just let me ask you this.
Yep.
You can go and use that like a credit card at the store?
Absolutely. Yeah. And
well,
it just takes.
What the hell do you need a credit card for?
Oh, this is tantamount to a slap in the face.
Oh, get out of here.
Jerry, a gift not enjoyed is like a flower that doesn't blossom.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
I just want you to picture me sitting on a plane, listening to the show, pulling my hair out yesterday as Chewy talks about how he doesn't know how to use a debit card. I was like, this is crazy town. Chewy, have you learned in the last 24 hours the effective way to use your debit card?
No, because, all right, I got a lesson from a few people that texted my wife and she tried telling me, it's a whole nother pin you have to know. So you got to go to the store, you put the card in, and there's a pin. I don't need any more passwords. I don't need any more pins.
Hold on.
Fair?
What if I told you if you hit cancel or the next thing, it would just run it as credit and you don't need to know a pin?
Well, then why wouldn't I just put my credit card in?
Nah,
I have three credit cards.
Back around the circle we go.
It is funny that...
It's just...
You somehow believed that that card only worked at, like, it was an ATM card like they used to have.
Time out.
I'm surprised you didn't call it a time machine.
I need a 30.
Okay.
Don't tell us on the air, but do you or do you not have a PIN when you take cash out with that card?
Yes.
It's the same bleeping PIN at the grocery store.
Oh, I thought it was a totally different one.
Nope.
It's the same one?
Yep.
Huh. Really?
I keep telling you guys, I'm looking around going, am I in the Twilight Zone? Is this happening? Am I flying
Jen,
to Columbus?
Jen, you know what doesn't have a pen?
Your credit card.
My credit card!
Uh-huh. Are you, the only reason to use a credit card is if you're getting points, if you're getting reward points, and then if you are using those reward points for vacations, for cash kickbacks, for things like that the credit card does to incentivize you to use the credit card. It sounds like you don't even know if you, I mean, it sounds like you don't even know if you have reward points.
But you know who does know? His wife. Yes. And that's the important part.
No, we do. It's a Southwest credit card. It's a Southwest credit card, which we fly all the time.
There you go. Okay, now that makes a little more sense. So, yes, you are helping yourself out at least with the rewards points. But I got to tell you, man, wow, was my reaction yesterday in the talk and text line when you guys jumped on
this
topic.
All right, Jen.
Still? I mean, is there anything? Because I don't think there's anything, Chewy, that you could say when we sit down to do this show in the morning. I don't think there's a damn thing you could say that's going to shock me at this point.
No, that one's shocking.
Really?
I mean, if you...
Jen, do you agree with me that money is just air, though?
I know what you're saying, that like all of the money doesn't actually exist. It gets passed from people. I mean, I saw It's a Wonderful Life. I know how the banking system works. Remember? All that money wasn't there. It's in Fred's house. It's in, you know, like I get all that. Yes, I not air per se, but yes, it is
ones and zeros.
Non-tangible, right? Not liquid, yes. If you will. All the money is not correct. Liquid. But when you need the money, you assume that your bank can give it to you. And then as long as not everyone needs their money at the same time, the bank can survive. Again, thank you. It's a Wonderful Life. Speaking of movies, guys, big day today. Big day at the cinema today. Gladiator 2.
Cinema?
Drops.
Do we still have those?
Theater? Do you like theater or cinema?
Yeah, big days at the... I remember back in the day, days at the movie theater, there'd be people lined up outside.
Oh, yeah.
Does this still happen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially big releases.
Yeah, but...
Like, I guess probably the Marvel stuff is really it at this point.
Like, this
right?
isn't a big release, though. We're not expecting a great movie here, are we?
I'm expecting something solid. I don't know if I'm expecting,
will you
like...
go see it? I'm not going
to
go see it.
First of all, I don't go see anything anymore. I wait for it to come to me so I can sit on my couch and enjoy it with the boop of a button.
Or on the airplane, where you watch the same movie 47 times.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, she doesn't care about the airplane. She already knows what she's watching on the airplane.
It's just a comfort thing, a trauma response, if you will. So Gladiator 2 is coming out today. I mean, we all loved Gladiator 1, right? We all were big fans of the I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent movie.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thumbs up. 5 stars, all of that stuff. Siskel and Ebert. Okay. Gladiator 2 is coming out. So we thought maybe today, to start the show, we would try to figure out which current Packer you would send to a battle of all NFL teams. If every NFL team sent one quote-unquote gladiator to the ring to compete to the death, last man standing type of thing, who would our Packers representative be of the 2024-2025 roster? So you can't go Reggie White. You can't go some like behemoth from past that you think, you know, even Favre, I feel like Favre would be good in the gladiator ring, man. He's like a, he'd be feisty, you know, right, Chu? You ever see Favre get into a fight? Would he be a good gladiator?
Yeah, well, you'd stab him like 9 times and he'd still fight. Right? He wouldn't. You'd really have to cut his head off or something. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Come on.
He's like The Undertaker. He just keeps getting back up, right? Okay, so Gabe, who would your, of this roster, gladiator be? This Packers roster.
So my thought process, I didn't want like an offensive or defensive lineman. While clearly they have the strength, they lack the agility. The same, you know, well, on the same side.
I mean, theoretically, they're not supposed to, though, right? Like, theoretically, the agility is supposed to be there for some of those defensive ends. Like, you'd like for them to be a little more athletic.
For the defensive end, certainly. For the offensive linemen, yeah, they have some agility, but, I mean, there are other guys. So I want that sweet spot. I'm looking for Chewy's position. I think the tight ends are the way to go. I think it's the perfect combination of strength, size, and speed. So Tucker Kraft is my guy that I would send as the Packers representative.
That's solid. Jen, I think the better question would be is, who's Commonus?
Okay.
Commonus, who's a little baby, can't fight, he whines all the time, because that list would be long. I think the gladiator list,
okay, hold
and I'll
on.
Give you mine right now.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll give you mine right now, and it's a walk, and I love your pick, Gabe. But Josh Jacobs, man, he's just a beast.
That was my other thought. Chu.
He's a beast. Yeah. Communist, but Quay Walker. Kenny Clark.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Holy moly. My head is already
Lucas
spinning. I've been on the show for 7 minutes with you.
Okay,
jeez,
okay,
Louis. Okay, yes.
Sorry.
Let's start with
why not?
The Packers
do a third
player.
One while we're at
oh, my God. Nice. I'm going to answer your question with a question. Who should be the guy? No. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the thumbs up and the thumbs down for Packers players as the Packers make the decision on some of these guys at the end of the season. Joshy, who would your gladiator be? I think we've got two good suggestions already in Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft. Who would your gladiator be for this year's Green Bay Packers team?
I don't know if he has the depth of work yet. I was hemming and hawing on Edger and Cooper. That's a guy that just screams towards the ball, seems to play with reckless abandon, very fast, very agile, and you get a little size and strength advantage that you might be losing with some of the smaller guys. The other one was Xavier McKinney. He just seems like the type of guy that is going to make plays wherever you need him to. Save his own life, save others' lives, just really be... I think I'm going Xavier McKinney.
These are very good.
That's solid.
I'm not even sure. Solid. I'm not even sure there's somebody else on the roster that I would select. Which, again, might speak to some of the challenges that the Green Bay Packers have faced this year. Because I think you got to, in order to be good in the gladiator space, it can't just be brute strength. Mm-hmm. There has to be some strategy involved. There has to be some IQ, some acumen, and scrolling. I don't know, guys.
Do you think Christian Watson would be? I mean, extremely fast, very big.
No.
Maybe he's not big enough.
Maybe a little vulnerable, though, with the height.
You know who we're overlooking, though? And this guy, last year, I remember, got in fights with the team joint practices. Elton Jenkins.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Remember something set him off?
Yes.
I mean, quiet, but he'll tear your head off.
I like it.
That's a solid.
That's another good one.
Being a guard, he's got a little more agility. Yeah. You know, he's not just a statue out there.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys, I'm scrolling through the roster here. Nobody's really popping for me.
The thing is, this should be Lucas Van Ness had we not seen his body of work.
Yeah.
100%.
By pure intimidation factor, he's runaway winner.
If we're just strictly
accurate thing you have ever said in the history of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we have a specimen.
Yes.
He should be the gladiator.
His nickname is
Hercules.
Yeah, but the problem is he would forget what team he's on and start killing his own guys. That's the problem.
Or start eating the horses. Like, it'd be weird. Be like, what are you doing? I think you guys have put together a good list. I'm going to keep scrolling through and see if there's anyone else that pops for me. I like the idea of a defensive lineman. We have not been that impressed with the defensive lineman. I like the idea of going after the linebacker position. Just has always felt to me, traditional linebacker, that sort of like aggressiveness, that sort of like, you know, run to the football, make plays. I know the Packers have not traditionally had somebody like that, at least recently, right? I mean, Clay Matthews, guys. Feels like Clay Matthews back in the day would have been a perfect person to send into the gladiator ring. I don't know if the current cast of linebackers is at that level. But to you said Cooper, right?
I ended up going McKinney.
McKinney.
I want a little more agility, a little more speed out there.
So maybe I'll stick with the linebacker core and see if I can. I think maybe Cooper might be my guy just because I like the idea of that position, what it's supposed to be, and that sort of, to me, fits what I imagine a gladiator would need to be in order to have success. Again, gladiator coming out tonight. Who would your gladiator be for this year's Packers team? 800-990-3776. We are going to get to Chewy's suggestion as well. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Sounds like he started rattling off his thumbs down list already. But the Packers do have some decisions to make at the end of this season, figuring out what to do with Watson and Dobbs and Quay and Wyatt, Josh Jacobs, because as you guys have mentioned, that's just sort of a one-year deal. They have the option of bringing him back. Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Jair, Myers, Van Ness, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get to Jason Wilde this morning, but we are going to talk about this all morning long, the decisions that the Packers have on these players, if it would be thumbs up or thumbs down in honor of Gladiator. But get us your choices. 800-990-3776. Who, if the NFL were having a battle of all teams and each team had to send one gladiator to the ring, who should the Packers send in order to have the last man standing? And what do our options say about the Green Bay Packers? Physicality and agility and strength and all of these other things that we have come to admire about gladiators. Gabe?
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections, commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
To get the insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde from 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
We are good. We are talking about Gladiator 2 being released this weekend and asking our loyal listeners which of the current Green Bay Packers they feel most confident sending into a battle of all NFL teams. Every team sends one representative to the Gladiator ring. Who would your Packers player be that would succeed and move on in the Gladiator ring?
No idea. Can we talk about Wicked instead?
Wicked. Oh, very nice. Yes. Defying gravity. That's which of the Packers players are defying gravity? No, I don't know. I don't even know how that would work. On our list, we have Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, and then add your own. Although Austin in the 414 says it doesn't matter who we send, Myles Garrett will club everyone to death with a helmet. Which is a fair point, Jason. All right, what is the latest out of 1265? Jair did not go. Do you think we will see him on the field this weekend?
I don't, and I'm hoping I see him in the locker room today because I'd like to talk to him. Because as we talked about on Tuesday, I don't like questioning guys' toughness or injuries or what have you, but I would like to get an understanding of, from his perspective, what exactly happened, and I want to dig up the quote from last year about, you know, if he's not 100%, something, I want to make sure I get it exactly right so I don't misquote him, but the idea that he needs to be 100% to play, I really would like to get a better understanding. So I saw him in the locker room yesterday when I was talking to Love and talking to McKinney. Today I don't have to talk to either one of those two, so I'm hoping that he comes through again, because this defense is different when he's out there, and the way that, you know, we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago when he and Evan Williams went out, and Evan Williams' injury causing a domino effect in their secondary, but, you know, you paid the guy, he's one of the, your coach calls him an elite corner. Getting 10 snaps out of him is not ideal.
Jason, we asked Shefty yesterday, or actually he told us that he anticipates 7 to 9 head coach openings at the end of the year. Did the Packers have anyone on the staff that will get interviews? He brought up Halfley. He thought Halfley might get some interviews. Is there anybody else? And do you agree with Halfley?
I mean, Halfley, obviously, having been a head coach at Boston College, he does have a head coach's presence, more so than a lot of other guys that have come through here. So I can see that. Now, again, you know, you might want to win a few more third downs against the Bears if you're going to have that opportunity. But, you know, I think both he and Steno are guys that would deserve a look. I know Tom Pelissero at the NFL Network does a up-and-coming coaches piece every year, and I think he did his earlier this week. And Adam Stenovich is on it. You know, whether or not he would get that opportunity, you know, I think Steno is 41, and just like it's a young man's game in terms of players, I think there's been a pretty clear trend for most teams, not all, but most, to go with younger coaches. So I'd be curious if Steno would get any sort of look, but both those guys, I think, have the qualities that you look for in at least a head coach candidate that you would consider.
Jason, saw the story yesterday with Robert Saleh having a big hand in the 60-yard reception that Christian Watson had. So does he have direct contact with players when he comes up with an idea? Is that all just flowing through? Does he meet with players when he's here in Green Bay? Do we have any more clarity on how that's all, how that all is working?
You know what, Gabe? I got to be honest. I get this great nugget about the play, and now I didn't get enough for you?
Follow-up, Jason.
It's just a follow-up. Just a follow-up, buddy. I'm just asking a follow-up question to the piece.
I did ask a follow-up. I mean, look, I'll be honest. I'm with you. Like, I want to know so much more about how this whole thing works.
Especially if he's given great plays.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree. So I don't know. I was just I wasn't taking a victory lap around the media auditorium, although maybe I should have, because getting LaFleur to actually give a specific example of a play that he had an influence over was a huge W for us. Like when I asked the question, because look, it's always, well, do you, I don't know how many times in the last 2 years I've gone, well, do you want me to give you the whole game plan, Jason? No, I definitely don't, because I know how the job works, and I'm not trying to help your opponent. I'm just trying to understand so I can share with your fans cool stuff that they will find interesting so they buy more of your jerseys and you can stop paying taxes to the city of Green Bay. So, look, I think if I were to guess, you know, he obviously has conversations with the offensive coaching staff and with LaFleur. I don't know what his interactions are with, say, Jordan Love. My guess would be most of his interactions would be with the coaches while watching film together and doing game planning stuff. And then he may go around and talk to guys during practice and stuff like that. But, you know, again, I don't know what, speaking of head coaches, like, I don't know what his chances will be next year with another team, but I think that it's a really cool thing to have him there. And again, because Halfley and him have history together, like, I don't think, maybe I'm being a little Pollyanna-ish, but I don't think there's any, like, insecurity with Halfley or discomfort. And LaFleur can say all he wants about how Salah's only working with the offense, but if Jeff Halfley is looking for some ideas, I don't think he has any problem talking to Robert Saleh about them.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. All right, Jason, what is the record head-to-head Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan? I see all sorts of numbers all over the place. What is the record regular season and playoffs?
I don't know. Do you have the dope sheet? I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me. I think the theme is Matt LaFleur has won a couple of games in the regular season, but every time they've met in an elimination game, Kyle Shanahan has won that game. Does that sound about right?
Well, Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers have ended three of their five seasons under Matt LaFleur with a playoff win, right? The 2019 NFC Championship game, the 2021 playoff game at Lambeau when the Packers were the number one seed, and then last year.
Is this a must-win game? I mean, would this be considered, it wouldn't have the, obviously, significance of a playoff game, win or go home, but is this a must-win game where it's elevated to that level of you have to win this game because of the way that the NFC is currently shaking out? You don't want the 49ers to somehow get hot and have a tiebreaker over you late in the season and maybe keep you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think of it, it's a must-win game for the 49ers, I think, for sure, right? Like, with where they're at, they definitely – all right, head-to-head. In the regular season, Matt LaFleur is 2-1 against Shanny. Unfortunately for him, he is 0-3 against Shanahan in the postseason. Shanahan 1-3 against the Packers in the regular season because he was obviously the 49ers head coach before LaFleur became the Packers head coach. So he's got one game against McCarthy. And 3-0 against the Packers in the postseason. I just think where the 49ers are at, I mean, they're 5-5, and if you look at their schedule, they got, I mean, next week they play at Buffalo. So that they're in a challenging spot. And do I think they can still win their division and maybe even win their division at 9-8? I do. But this is a game where, you know, I saw George Kittle talking yesterday. I'm playing. There's no way I'm missing playing against the Packers. Like, I do think that they view this game as a must-win for them. For the Packers, you know, they're sitting at 7-3. Certainly you would love to win this game. You're at home, and you want to be able to put together the kind of second half of the season that you had last year. But I'm not saying they got cupcakes left on their schedule, because they do have some difficult games themselves. But I don't think, you know, I thought last week was more of a must win, because if you lose a game to a bad Bears team, suddenly you're second guessing everything. Whereas you get beat by a team that I think we can all agree is better than 5-5 and is sitting at 5-5 primarily because of all their injury issues. They did lose a game they should have won last week, I think, to Seattle at home. But I don't think this is a must-have game for the Packers. I think it would be really great if we got it game for the Packers.
But Jason, for the division, it is a must-win, because the Bears have Indy this week, and then on Thanksgiving they got the Bears. So if they lose this game, they're out. They're out of the division race. They're not going to make up three games. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's true. I would agree. But I don't – I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're going to make up that ground anyway. I think they're going to be a wild card. So, yeah, great. The Lions are 9-1, right? Like, to me, the division, having any hope comes down to – do you beat the Lions on the Thursday after Thanksgiving? Because then you eliminate that tiebreaker. And to your point, then I think it goes. Does it go to common opponents, or does it go to the NFC conference record? Whatever it is, the Lions have played the 49ers already this season. Joshy, do they have the 49ers on their schedule too? I don't know.
I'm working on
I thought they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they have the Niners in week 17,
December 30th.
But that game could mean nothing if San Fran's out of it. Yeah.
Right. I think it would be great if you win this and you keep yourself alive in the division. But I think the Packers road, because, quite frankly, the Lions are more legit than I even thought they were going to be. And I thought they were going to be a good team again this year. But, I mean, I didn't have them at 9-1 through 10 games, even after losing their best defensive player. I just don't think they're going to catch them. And so I don't think Sunday really factors in all that much.
Jason, did the Bears get a response from New York in regards to the field goal?
Got a response from Matt LaFleur, didn't they?
Yeah, look, I we talked about this at the beginning of the week too. Like, I personally, you know, I know LaFleur kind of zinged him a little bit. That's why you don't want the game in the hands of the official. That's why I tell our guys that. But I do think that it's interesting, right? Like, again, this is information that, you know, I don't care if you're at work and you got a Bears fan buddy and you're a Packers fan. And this is something you guys could talk about on your coffee break. And you could be giving them, oh, you're whining to the league. Oh. And then the guy can come back and go, hey, man, you had this call go in your favor in the Tennessee game. Like, I don't have any problem at all with the Bears bringing this to the NFL's attention. But I think, if I remember correctly, there was an incident earlier this season. I can't remember what team was involved. But one of the head coaches brought up that they turned something into the league, and then they got rebuked by the league for saying that they had turned it into the league. And so I don't anticipate Eberflus today getting up there and saying, yeah, we heard from the league. They said it should have been a penalty and that we should have won. So we're, you know, going to go all throughout the league and, you know, like on the little signs that you see at a bar where the Packers schedule is up on the board. Eberflus is going to go to every bar in Racine and Kenosha and change the score from 20-19 to 22-20.
Jason, do they need more consistency out of Tucker Kraft?
I don't know what to make of last Sunday. Like, you know, was his only target the one that
the interception
Love overthrew for the interception? Yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, they threw 17 passes, and they've got four wide receivers that they really like, and they've got a tight end that they think is a real stud. Some might say, like a young Mark Chimura. So is that him, you know, not being consistent enough, or is that him getting caught up in a game where they didn't have enough possessions? What did he do against Detroit?
Four catches for 34 yards. So that's the thing, Jason. I started looking at his game log, and outside of the two big plays he's had a 66-yarder and a 67-yarder. It's, I feel like those two plays, we went, oh, okay, Tucker Kraft. We don't have to worry about him again. But is it possible that he's still going through some growing things as a second-year tight end?
Oh, no doubt he is, Gabe. And I think this is one of my frustrations with, and look, again, fans are fans, and I'm appreciative that they listen to everything we talk about and read everything I write, but we are such a, in sports in general, not to sound like Denny Green, but if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. Like, we are so eager to make proclamations about Jordan Love, about Jaden Reed, about Christian Watson, like, and I'm sure other fan bases do it with their young players too. And it's just, you know, I can be obnoxious, and luckily Sydney went to school already, because she would go, growth is not linear, in the background, because I say it all the time, but it's true. And so Tucker Kraft had a huge growth spurt, right? I mean, the second half of last season, this past off season, and the start of the season, like the jumps that he has made, like, God bless him, because there are other guys, Lucas Van Ness, for an example, have not made those big strides, those big moments of growth. But now we've kind of hit a lull again. And maybe that's a little bit of the case, or maybe it's just opportunities. I will say this, and look, Chewy, you can speak to this better than I can, because you played through a ton of injuries. But when Tucker Kraft, who is a very physical player like you were, is dealing with that shoulder injury to the degree that in practice they have him wearing a red quarterback jersey, I have to think that that slows down your growth and your development and your physicality, because you can't throw that shoulder the way you want to.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Football season is back. I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink. It fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Celsius is fantastic. Just ask Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and others. You can explore all 27 refreshing flavors. They've got sparkling or non-carbonated, so there is a Celsius for every taste on game day. You can stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Morning. Lots of reaction rolling in on that. Jacob in the 651 says, Edgerrin Cooper seems to be the most aggressive player on the team. He is big, he is fast, he is strong, he is instinctive. And then David giving us a curveball here. He says, McManus, the position battle was brutal and he came in and proved he was the guy. That from David in Mount Pleasant. Sure, not going to disagree with that, but do you want the kicker?
As your
chew gun?
I mean, unless he's just running around kicking guys in the junk, I don't know how he's winning.
Unless he's like a McAfee-esque punter, right? Where he's just a menace, right? Like McAfee was just a menace, and I actually would consider tossing McAfee into the gladiator ring, knowing him a little bit now. But otherwise, I'm going to stay away from specialists, right, Chew?
Well, my first question was going to be, who the hell is McManus?
It's the kicker.
No. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's the kicker. But he's like, what, third one? that's kick this season or no?
Technically only the second.
And Chewy only has the capacity to remember the two. So you're out of luck, buddy.
Technically during the regular season, it's only been two.
You came too late. Zach Tom is your champion, says Jared in the 920.
Ooh,
big
like
and strong, he will block all incoming attacks and let his opponent wear himself out. So yes, we're getting reaction on Mark in Watertown says, what about Quay Walker? He doesn't care who he pushes around. I believe we have evidence of that as well. And Jeremy in the 262 says, Eric Wilson. Huh.
I mean, he's been one of their best run stoppers from that linebacker spot. I don't think Eric Wilson's a bad nomination.
I mean, back to Quay Walker, he avoids tacklers, so maybe he can avoid a sword or something like that. And, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't avoid blockers.
Very good at that.
But he doesn't avoid blockers very well, Chew.
No, not so much.
Tough to get around him.
Is there an all-time, Chew? Is there an all-timer that you would pick? I know I mentioned Reggie before because he has that imposing sort of figure. He's that imposing figure.
Yeah.
He has that imposing presence. Is there anybody else from the past that we should consider as an all-time Packers gladiator?
Well, I mean, you got to go with Brett because he's got the consecutive game streak. Look at Reggie as more as the mountain, you know, the mountain in Game of Thrones. Sorry, Gabe.
Nerd.
I mean, destroys everyone, but he eventually gets killed in the end. I mean, Wayne Simmons.
Oof. Yeah. See, one guy I would throw out there, Chew, and I know you didn't play with him, but Charles Woodson. Like, that dude was tough. Like, his first year here, he wasn't practicing, and he was out there returning punts, picking off passes, playing defense with a bad shoulder. He was wearing a harness on his shoulder. He wanted to go back into the Super Bowl after he broke his clavicle.
Collarbone,
yeah. Yeah, so it was one of those. I mean, I think he is one of the toughest guys who would definitely put on a good show.
I mean, Al Harris probably gets honorable mention. He was a tough corner.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wiry.
He was a tough corner. Yeah, there's a handful of
Clay obviously has the look.
Yeah. He's got the locks. Anyone else? D-line?
I mean, Aaron Kampman, I think you could throw out there.
I know
he's
I go to this
guy.
Well.
Motor was always running.
I know I go to this well a lot, Chew, when I talk about, like, what's the word? Insane players. Nick Barnett.
Yeah.
Nick Barnett was
insane. KGB?
KGB also probably. You know what? I don't want to say anything about KGB. I don't need someone showing up at my house.
Why do you do that to us?
Yeah, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry until he takes care of Homer.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh at that. Take back the laugh. Lots of stuff for us to get to this morning on the show. Chewy still wants us to go through the roster and say thumbs up or thumbs down to the players the Packers have to make decisions on. It is Niners week, guys. Niners are limping into this game. Their record this season already 5-5. But as we mentioned with Jason Wilde, this has been a boogeyman. The Niners have been a boogeyman for the Green Bay Packers. And Matt LaFleur's team has won a couple of games in the regular season. But in the games that matter, in the grand scheme of things, the winner-go-home games, the Niners have been victorious. So we will discuss whether or not this is, in fact, a must-win game right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Okay, what does that mean? Well, that means if your testosterone levels are low, they can help you. They helped me. I didn't even realize my testosterone levels were low. Just tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Just assumed, okay, I'm waking up early in the morning, doing a morning show after doing the afternoon show for all those years, and you know, getting a little bit older. You just get a little bit more tired. That's the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mentality can help you feel like you did years ago. Just go to their website, lowtusa.com. Mentality, you go through their process, and if your testosterone levels are low, they'll put together a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. And Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. So find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Woo-hoo! money. I am pro Potawatomi, where I sometimes lose money, admittedly. But last night at the Bucks game, there was a Potawatomi sweepstakes going on where you could make a shot on the basketball court and win $10,000. And the fan did make the half-court shot.
Did they?
Well, I believe that's what we're about to discuss.
Would that be illegal if it was a game? Would there have been a no basket?
So if you haven't seen the video, it is available on social media.
I retweeted it.
Thank you, Josh. I was going to say perhaps we will retweet it. The ball bounces and hits the rim and bounces up on top of the backboard and bounces around a couple of times and then ploop.
I believe it actually hit first
the shot.
Yes.
Oh, it hits the top of the backboard, hits the shot clock, and then goes in.
I didn't even realize it hit the shot clock. Yes. I have to go back and watch the video again. So, Chu, to your question, no, in a basketball game, if the ball hit the top of the backboard and the shot clock, it would be no shot, waved off. But since they're in the business of giving money away, I suppose that these things, they did allow it. Josh, your instinct was?
Should this be allowed? If it doesn't count in a game, if every game we've ever watched, a similar shot would be blown dead, end of play, should it count? Because to me, that's not the ball actually going in the way it should.
I'm surprised Potawatomi would let that count. Because you would think there would be specific rules. Because, yes, can Potawatomi afford to give away $10,000 every once in a while at a Bucks game? Of course they can. That's why they do their promotion. But also, there's a reason why they continue to add on to Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Because, well, they're in the business of making and keeping their money. I am surprised they allowed this to stand because it shouldn't have been allowed
to stand. There's a lot of precedent here. We've seen these shots have a lot of things removed. Like, basically, in some of these, you have to admit you never played, like, high-level college basketball. And if you did, you can be then banned from the contest. People have, their foot have stepped over, like, their toes went over the half-court mark, and that also didn't count. So, like, there are strict rules because you have, we're giving away a lot of money here. We got to kind of play by the rules. But I don't know if in the rules they said, if the ball bounces off the shot clock and then in, does it still count?
I don't know. But Gabe, because you played in a ton of golf tournaments, right, where they have a car. You know, you get a hole in one, you get the car. So what if someone's ball, a player is already hit.
Yep.
And the next player tees off, hits that ball, and knocks it into the hole.
My guess is that would not count by the contest rules that were probably put forth by, and that's probably the insurance company that's protecting that, is not allowing that.
Golf rules, though. To a certain extent, it has to go in.
Yeah.
Like, would it count as a one if that happened in the PGA Tour?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So
right,
it's kind of the same.
Or no, wait, no. If your ball is hit, you have to replace it to its nearest spot.
Yes.
Yeah, so
all
it
right.
would not.
What if the guy, Gabe, what if the player teeing off hits the ball and his ball goes in
then
the
then that's
hole.
A hole in
Does
one.
Does that count?
That counts. Yes. That's a hole in one. You can use the bumper.
Give the guy the money. I loved it. It was great.
So
drama.
Nick weighing in on the YouTube page says, so should a contestant be called for traveling if they don't dribble? And I think they're talking about like when you have the one where it's make a layup, make a free throw, make a half court shot. Do you need to dribble in between each of those buckets in order for it to count? I would guess the answer there is no. But I'll say this, guys, strictly from an advertising standpoint for Potawatomi, allowing the shot to count means that more people will see it, which means more people will see the Potawatomi, you know, signage and symbols on the thing. And then, you know what I mean? It goes more viral when someone makes a $10,000 bucket
or
than
does
it does
go
if
more
they miss.
Does it go more viral if he has that celebration, thinks he won,
and then they
and
wave
then
it
doesn't
off?
Get it?
But then that's you worry point. About bad publicity, right? Like you worry about people being like, oh, just give it to them.
I was at the weekly wager last night, Skelzo and Bruss reunion. I don't think they're the loyal fans I saw there. I don't think they'd stop. I'm going to be honest.
Good point.
They didn't count that. I'm not going to Pato tomorrow.
It is mind-boggling how that place is always busy. It doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter what day. It doesn't matter if there are sporting events going on or not. Holy moly. Do they have a loyal fan base over there at Potawatomi? We love them here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, we sure do. Ben also lost our ticket that we had winners on yesterday for like 15 minutes. We had to go digging through the garbage to find it.
He threw away a winning ticket?
Yes.
That's on you guys. That's on you guys. You guys should know better at that point to trust Ben with the winning ticket. That's I don't blame Ben. He has made it perfectly clear who he is. And if anybody should know who Ben Brust is, it is you and Greg Scalzo.
And the best part is he blamed both Greg and I.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
And if you haven't been to Pottawatomie Sportsbook lately, guys, what are you waiting for? Now you can use your Pottawatomie Rewards card at most of the self-service kiosks, bet on your favorite sports, and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. We'll be right back after this.